my headphones, and if there's feedback, we'll address it. But,
All right, we're recording.
Okay.
So, Metapsychosis editorial meeting, May 12th, 2021. After Christ. Anno Domini used to be the term for AD.
Yeah, but you have to say it before the number. Anno Domini 2020.
Okay, I didn't realize that that calendar didn't get adopted until maybe like
2021, not 2020 now.
Oh, it's so true.
Yeah.
It keeps changing every time.
I think about that, it changes every year.
Yeah. Yeah, I read an interesting article. You were saying, Marco, how AD is actually recent, and some people have pushed back against replacing it with CE, Common Era. But I read an article about how the phrase Common Era is actually older than Anno Domini, that like Jewish historians.
Christian era.
No, it's Common Era. It's Common Era. And that was used, that term was used to distinguish, because there was a whole time during the Roman Empire when you would say, okay, it's like the 10th year of the reign of Tiberius or whatever. And I think it was apparently Jewish historians who were like, well, we can't just keep changing our numbering system. Every time we get a new emperor, like history is longer than that, and invented the idea of a common era.
Was that idea of a common era then based on the Old Testament and like a kind of backward projection of when Genesis happened?
I'm pretty sure that they didn't base it on Jesus's birthday.
Yeah, right.
Like it was, and I don't know what date they picked to be zero, but they did have, yeah.
Something interesting happens in your book, GJ, around time, like because of the tempo, like they have to average out how much time has passed because everybody has experienced it differently based on their tempo settings. How does that work exactly in your book?
Well, the Edo era is defined by this average, which they work out by some means. So they needed a common time that was, you know, that adjusted with the tempo changes. So the average kind of makes a certain kind of sense, but
there's also a change in how, in the frequency at which humans live. There's a kind of human normal tempo.
Yeah, so because it's linked to how far they've spread out into the galaxy and the issues of transportation time. So if while they were just going, you know, 50 light years, then they only need to slow time to allow 50 years of travel time to be compressed down to a year or less, right? But when they got to the level where they were traveling 10,000 light years, they had to compress time a lot more in order to make the distances acceptable. So that's why it slowly extends over time as they go.
Yeah, it seems like you would miss a lot of news. You know, when you take one of these trips, right? So many things would happen.
I'm thinking of when you get back from a holiday or something, and you open your inbox and you think, oh God.
Right.
Although while they're traveling, they do have access because the Edo matrix supports exchanging messages even when they're traveling. So it's not quite, it's, you know, the universal information service is still accessed. So
what I thought is it'd be weird to have these, you know, to be in like a mixed company, people operating at different tempos, and because some people would appear to be in slow motion, right?
Yeah, some of the books describe that in quite detail. Yeah, what's going on and how that works, and yeah.
And some, and I guess to the those who are like tempo adjusted, then what normally would be happening at the steady pace outside of you suddenly speeds up. So to the people who are slow, everybody else would be very fast. They'd be buzzing around.
Yes, buzzing around. So there tends to be a segregation, spatial segregation of parts of the population that are living at one tempo and parts of the population that are living at different tempo, and a certain standardization of tempo, right? So people decide to operate at the same tempo in order for social interactions to be able to take place. So this is what humor and tempo is essentially. I mean, the actual average number at the time of the events in plenum is about 830 or 828. But the number used to standardize tempo is 800. So it's a little different from the average that's used to determine the Edo era. You know?
Okay, I don't wanna, we can go a lot further, I'm sure, into the topic. We were talking about time, calendars, Anno Domini, that came out of cryptocurrency and or just the dollar, the exchange rate. Anyway, that was a bit of a tangent, perhaps, to our purpose today, which is an editorial meeting.
Speaking of schedules, thank you for for nudging us to look at the deck again. That was a good, I refreshed my memory of everything we've done and we're working on.
Yeah, and there's, I think it has most everything. There's a piece that Brigid mentioned, which is a Sella Greenwood poem, I think, that she had submitted years ago and we never published, and she was wondering about it. So that's not on there. I tried to update it with other things, and I tried to delete things that were maybe not as relevant. How would you like to proceed? Because I don't have I could make up an agenda, but I'm a little bit feeling like maybe we have to do more better self-management. Like I'm not a good manager actually in terms of keeping like a schedule, like keeping things on track. And it'd be helpful to have more of a kind of distributed sense of like, you know, what is our plan and keeping ourselves accountable to it. Because I'm like aware that there are some things that we plan to do, which have gotten delayed, you know, like maybe stymied in some way, like the newsletter was one. And part of that has some background to it, which is technical, like in that. I've been working with Kayla on, okay, how are we actually going to do this? Because we had a previous newsletter platform. We were using MailChimp for a while, but we weren't sending any newsletters, so and paying for it nonetheless. So I canceled it at one point and backed up all the data. And anyway, there's like a technical conversation around like what's the best tool to use, that we don't have to take up our time with that. But then there was, you know, the introduction to the newsletter and the just getting all the pieces of it together. I still want to get that done and moving forward, and connect that to the larger marketing effort and to setting up some kind of subscription model and then creating the store where we're going to sell the books. So all of that is still in my purview, partly because of having to prioritize. Like, to me, it's always more important to do the editing and to do the publishing than to do some, you know, the web development or the marketing. Like, and because I have limited time, I can't do it all. So that's been part of our conversation as well, is reaching out to other people or making an invitation to others to participate in some way. But that also takes some work up front, because you know, we would really have to define the roles and just be more, I think, mindful about, you know, what it's like for somebody to start getting involved, like, you know, with a project that's been going for a while and that, you know, has a certain improvisational quality, and, you know, having to like learn how to do it and what to do. We have one editor, Gurmeet Singh, who has offered to participate and edit one piece a month. He gave some comments on Eduardo's piece, but it's been over a month and he is ready to do something else. However, we don't have exactly something for him. So part of what I guess I'm asking you guys for help with is just thinking about how do we coordinate these different activities and go from this sort of improvisation to something that's more reliable. Like we know how it works and then we can just focus on the editing and the writing, especially. So we kind of need a system, I think is what I'm saying. And there are the pieces of it, but it's not all integrated. It's not all like functional. So that's my spiel.
Cool. So I'm hearing that we want to, like, in terms of not priorities, but possible things we could be paying attention to are like the pipeline of works that would eventually go to Gurmeet. Like that kind of thing.
Him being one editor, and there could be others, right? So how would we sort of traffic flow?
So we've got editor, and we're in the enviable position right now that we've got more editors than work. And so it's maybe like worth paying attention to where our work's coming from, and we could work on that. And that maybe now that the editing on the book is done, the newsletter could move up again on the priority list. And what else seems like, and there might be a few things in the pipeline at the moment that could use our attention that I'm not thinking of.
Yeah, that all sounds good to me. There's a bigger picture, of things and that I think need to be more explicated, more like articulated. And like, so that if we're starting a co-op, that means people are they have to have jobs to do and like job descriptions and kind of like a network of accountability and who's doing what when. And then all the agreements around that. So that's a whole topic that I think is not for this meeting. But it is something to keep in mind because, part of what I think the larger arc of what to, like for the journal to be successful, I think in the long run, and for our publishing to be successful, like we have to kind of create appropriate level opportunities for people, like so that somebody could come in and just have a couple hours a month maybe, and be a part of it and do something and feel like they've contributed meaningfully, and then on the other end, also roles for people like us that are more intensively doing things and that the responsibilities become distributed. So it's not, there are more pockets of decision-making that communicate with each other. And there are, organizational models for this, like sociocracy is one, or holacracy, that can conceptualize how the communication flows are and what the power dynamics are like and decision-making and so forth. But a lot of that has been, for me, like implicit. It's been more like in the air and not so much like on paper. So I think part of what we could be considering, like on one level, is just the flow of publishing, like so new submissions and the editorial process and the publication process. But in the larger scope is how can that take shape within a context where there's a kind of growing cooperative practice and a collective practice that not everybody's doing editing. There's people maybe doing other things, people doing marketing or people doing the technology. And then we and myself, for example, would just focus on what we're good at, and especially the writing. Like to me, I think that we have a lot to offer as far as just as writers. And if we're creating a platform, we should use it to develop and promote our work.
Just thinking, one thing that would be worth thinking about perhaps is a way to, we accept photography and artwork in the submissions, call for submissions, but in the book publishing world, we need artists. And so maybe we should be looking at ways to, I don't know, attract artists in more larger numbers and with offer more for artists to be involved in the co-op. I don't know, it's just an idea.
What would you think of offering them?
I don't know.
I can never get my artist friends to draw for me. This is the bane of my life.
Opportunity. That's the last thing an artist wants to hear. Exposure. Exposure. That's actually the one that you can see your artist friends rolling their eyes. But although there are definitely artists who do want that and who, you know, are like more starting out or more, you know, just not in a monetizing mode, like not trying to make a living at it, just enjoy having their work, part of things.
Well, maybe we could talk to the artists and ask them what they want.
That is an excellent idea. I was just thinking, like, a fun activity that I see happen in the world of fan fiction and fan art, but that doesn't could also apply to, you know, original fiction and original art, is pairing up writers and artists in like activities where an artist posts a piece of work and then writers write something, like it's given as a challenge that like writers can write a poem or something inspired by it, and then at the end of a certain period, like all of it is put up or posted together, and I think it is like it's a kind of community building activity, but it's also gratifying as an artist to have a bunch of writers pay close attention to your art, and it's gratifying for the writers. I mean, it's just it's a community building kind of thing.
I
think it also generates really interesting work.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot. To me, like as a writer, it'd be very valuable just to be given a prompt, you know, that takes me out of my normal track, you know, what I'm typically working on. And, you know, we have published a couple of interviews now with artists, we published a couple of interviews and also like galleries or kind of collections. Mm-hmm. And we have an unpublished interview with Marjorie.
Yeah.
I was going to mention that Brian George's wife, Denny, is an artist. She is in a cooperative, a gallery cooperative with Marjorie in Boston.
Oh, cool.
And Marjorie is, I guess, one of the, if not the, you know, one of the main organizers of it. They met through that. They have a show, Denny and Brian, with, I think, Marjorie, but at a different gallery, coming up in July. And I suggested maybe we could do another interview with them. But that could be one source. Like we could connect with that, with those particular artists, but also maybe other members, other artists that they know in their network, and pitch it as a kind of experiment. Like we have some poets and fiction writers who, you know, we're looking to bring more art into our journal and looking to foster collaborations and interesting, you know, connections. And then we can publish the results, and that'll bring exposure and, you know, to the artists, as well as to the journal. And in this case, you know, with the artists, they're working artists. They have to sustain their galleries, so they're trying to sell work as well. We could certainly link to that, to their page, to do that, and, you know, facilitate those connections. So there's like an economic incentive. Which I think that's something that we have to maybe pay more attention to. Like, and going back actually to that original topic, Mary, that you brought up around barter and money.
Yeah.
How, like, if we can't exactly have, at least at this stage, like just flat out pay people, like in US or Canadian or other, you know, forms of fiat currency. How can we create an economic loop, an economic circuit that makes it worthwhile for people to contribute their work? I think that like if we solve that problem, we could look at that independently of dollars and cents. Like we could actually just look at it at the level of an energetic exchange or an exchange of meaning between people.
Yeah. We talked earlier about making a bulletin board kind of function in our community. And I wonder if some like skills to exchange, like a barter system of skills, if there could be a kind of corner of it, of our bulletin board, where people...
There is something in internet conversations, there is a thread for that, but it's not very active.
Oh, I didn't know about it. That sounds like...
Yeah, it's pretty buried. I've used it a couple of times. I mean, that's the kind of thing, and you need traffic, you need, people need to be able to aware of it, but what you're suggesting sparks something for me, which is that one way I've thought of how to make a transition from this state we're in now to a cooperative state would be that when we look at membership, like what does it mean to be a member of the co-op? Like all of us contribute something. Like we show up and oops, did we lose Mary?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi, I'm back. Sorry about that. I have an unstable internet connection.
Oh, okay. I was just gonna say that the idea of the bulletin board and how that might be able to work. Like I'm thinking about membership, right? So when one becomes a member in a co-op, typically, you're either paying a fee or you're contributing work. You're doing something in lieu of that fee. It depends on what the kind of co-op it is. Like in our case, anybody who shows up at a meeting or shows up even in a conversation that creates about a book in a way is creating value. Like they're offering, they do the work, they read the text, they show up, they set aside the time. And could there be a way where we like recognize those forms of contribution? And for other people who maybe don't do that, like don't want to be on video, for example, like there are some people like that. Or Gurmeet is another example who he doesn't want to show up at conversations, but he wants to contribute something. That we could sort of recognize all those different kinds of contributions on the one hand, like things that people are doing. Then on the other, things that people like want to do or could offer. Like I would say I could offer editing. I could offer proofreading. I could offer graphic design. I could offer, and this is how much I could do an hour a week or more, you know, there'd be a whole range. But in a way, we could ask, like, what do you want to offer? How much time do you have? And then we can match that up with the needs that are perceived. And we would just need that place where the information could be shared and exchanged. And then some kind of, you know, way of recognizing it, some way of like, I'm hesitant to say, like, measuring it, because I don't know if that's the right approach, but it may be that there's some way of quantifying how many hours or the kind of value of what one puts into the enterprise. And that's where the question of currency, I think, gets involved. And where I think on the one hand, there's a lot of opportunity to kind of get lost in a lot of complexity, but on the other, there's also an opportunity to maybe solve the problem, solve some problems and innovate something. So I've been thinking about this for a while, but now it feels like we should bring it into a practical.
Because we had the Litcoin idea, so we could integrate that with the bulletin board idea and do something and take it forward to something a little bit more substantive than we had so far. It was a general principle applied to the co-op, but a tie to the bulletin board, I think, is an interesting focus for it.
Do you know, Mary, about Litcoin?
I've heard you guys talk about it.
It's a concept. It's for a technology, obviously a play on Bitcoin, but the idea was that it would be a kind of internal currency that members could use to, in a sense, like play money. Like it does, but it would have actual value. It could be backed, in essence, by the value of the co-op. So, for example, if there is let's say that there is an income stream through a combination of revenue sources, like membership fees, book publishing, courses, and so forth. And some, some portion of that revenue stream is going to pay for operations, general expenses and salaries if there is, people like working full time. But some portion of it also, like a surplus, if there's a surplus, it could be translatable against the Litcoin. So if you wanted to redeem your Litcoin, theoretically you could. That would be one way of doing it. There's also, in the question of currency, like there's different kinds of currency. And there's different sort of models for it, but the US dollar and Canadian modern currencies are fiat currencies. So they're just made up. They're like, we just decide that there's going to be, $1 trillion worth of currency and they're actually lent into existence. So the central bank lends money to large institutions who then, based on the interest rate that's set, need to pay it back. But they lend it out further, in a commercial sense and then finally to personal borrowers. But the fact that there is an interest that it is part of the creation process means that there always has to be more money. In other words, there always has to be growth, economic growth, in order to keep the engine running, as it were. But another model for currencies is called mutual currencies or mutual interest currencies, where there isn't sort of the creation of money. The creation happens in the exchange. In other words, like if you were bartering and I have 2 hours that I have free on a Friday afternoon and you have some other resource, then just by matching those up, we can create, we can abstract a value and say my 2 hours is worth $2 and your, extra tomatoes are worth, $2. And then we can make that exchange. But the money isn't created externally and that it has to be paid back. It's actually becomes a kind of way of just managing differences in value with a common term. So that would be one way that Litcoin could be designed. And I think the key would be to keep it like, to have some kind of simple way to just keep track.
And So one way that I thought about this, if we wanted to create a little marketplace, I'm actually right now I'm thinking of social media things that have marketplace options like Facebook does. Could we allow people to make a little profile, or it would be part of their broader profile, but that would just show up on the marketplace page, where you list what you can offer, and then you can tick a box to say whether you're just offering it for free, or you'd like to be paid in Litcoin, or you'd like to be paid in hard currency, or you'd like to exchange it for barter. Mm-hmm. You can put what you're looking for, what you'd be interested in buying from people, and whether you're willing to pay whether you're willing to pay in barter, hard currency, or Litcoin. And so I guess the idea is that, like, I mean, I don't, here I am thinking of ideas that probably need a lot of computer expertise that I don't possess, but that on this like marketplace page, you could search and say my name popped up and it would say, Mary can offer editing for barter or Litcoin. Mary would love to get an illustrator for hard currency or barter. And then it would maybe be searchable. You'd be like, oh, I'm really looking for an illustrator who's willing to barter. Mm-hmm. And you could search with those key terms or something like that. Like it, that some a model like that strikes me as a low organizational, like actually work, as I said, computer work to set it up, but a low kind of level of organization. And then just a way, like we don't handle the transactions unless it's the Litcoin. Mm-hmm. There's a way to get in touch with the person.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some waivers like Kijiji and Facebook have where they're like, look out for fraud. Make sure you trust the person before you give them private information, that kind of stuff, you know, warn people to be cautious, but generally it's just like an open marketplace, like Facebook Marketplace or CellSwap. There was a website called CellSwap that probably doesn't exist anymore, but
mm-hmm.
yeah. Something like that.
Do you have any thoughts, Gigi?
I just feel that, I mean, we'd like this to be a place of trust, not a place where, so I understand that even if you create a place of trust, you can still get scammers come on. And so, but it would be nice to have at least some, I don't know.
I mean, the thing is we don't, I think we have some barriers to join our community, but we sure as heck don't like run a credit and police check on everyone that comes through our door, nor should we. I don't think we should be that kind of community. And so, yeah, all I'm saying is just put a little disclaimer at the top telling people to be, people know the score when they go buy a washing machine online from someone they don't know.
I mean, one of the mechanisms that's used in like in marketplaces like that is like a feedback mechanism. So either in the form of ratings or comments, that kind of a thing. And that way you could build up trust and signal it. But I'm kind of thinking like that as a service, like as a reason to join a co-op, mm-hmm. to have access to use a marketplace like that, either offering something and making use of somebody else's what they're offering. I could see that as a valuable thing. And also like how to build it. I know we can build it. Even just Kayla and myself, and that's not, you know, the question is priority. It's always like a question of when we can build it. And but if the purpose is to build a community and to gain some economic power, which I think I would just want to own that. Like I want us to have money that we can, I want it to be able to pay people. Like I want it to be able to pay artists. Like I want it to be, I think part of the purpose of a co-op is to build wealth for a group and so that they can meet their needs. I mean, that's the idea. Not everybody needs to relate to it in the same way. That's, I think, what's different is that there could be multiple ways of exchanging value and exchanging meaning. So it could be that you don't have time to offer or very little time, but you have money. And so you could contribute that. And on the other end, you don't. Or, you know, you want to barter or you want Litecoin or you actually need fiat currency to pay your bills. Like we could really be multi, what's the word, just sort of multivariate, like in terms of giving people options.
Yeah.
And like recognizing like value is value. Like we don't have to reduce it all to like, you know, would somebody pay you for that? Because that's the purpose of Cosmos, is it's for stuff that nobody would pay you for. Like, unless they were like passionate about, you know, unless they shared these peculiar aesthetic values and, you know, community values. So to like explicitly recognize multiple forms of value, I think would be a statement in and of itself. And two, then it creates an incentive, like one incentive anyway, to being a member, is that you'd have access to this marketplace. So I like it as an idea. And maybe we need to think about it from a business perspective. Like if there are a menu of options for things that we could put our time and energy into, mm-hmm. You know, when would we do that? Or what would we do it? And when would we do it in relation to other things? And it doesn't, you know, Kayla and I don't have to do all the website work. I mean, we certainly could. In fact, I actually need to get a business. I need to put a bulletin board post up for an apprentice on WordPress, because we have work that I don't want to do for a client that is using the same technologies that we're using in Cosmos. And if we had somebody that either already knew some WordPress skills, had some tech, you know, was conversant at least, or wanted to learn, then there would actually be money for them. And then, you know, if they were interested in being involved in Cosmos more generally, then they could apply those same skills to helping us out or getting involved in other projects or just learning more, you know, like becoming more skilled and gaining like experience that then makes them more, you know, gives them more marketable skills as well. So that's like a concrete thing that we can almost immediately do.
Thing, then I might know someone I could ask.
Really?
I've got a friend. She does all my work. I paid her to do the WordPress site for my webcomic, and mm-hmm. she's actually my old housemate from undergrad, and she's a children's songwriter. So I'll ask her, but there's always a chance she'll be like, I'm too busy getting my latest album out. She's also got two young children, and so on. Like lots of stuff could be happening in her life that just makes it not possible, but she was like an early adopter of WordPress, so I know she's got skills, and she does freelance stuff. Like she's her own kind of businesswoman. She puts out music albums, she does music lessons over Zoom, she kind of pieces together a bunch of jobs. So I'll write her if it's something. She'd be looking for something paid, but if
it would be paid, because so that Bruce Lipton, the site that we did for Bruce Lipton, we are doing ongoing maintenance and like some more ongoing development for them, and some of the stuff that needs to be done is just updating plugins and like little things, troubleshooting, problem solving, customer service issues, that like we could say it takes 2 hours a week or something like that. I mean, it wouldn't be a lot of work that's paid, but if, you know, it could lead to more. I mean, part of the thing is like, we always had too much work and I was always trying to get it to stop. And
if she's interested, if she's interested, maybe she could be like someone who's just in your Rolodex on your list for when there's overflow or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be good to have somebody like that is just going to do it on a week. Like every week they spend a couple hours, they update the plugins, they check the email, like they, you know, like what I need in that project is just some,
right.
Like consistency. Okay. So that's a good connection, but and then if you know, if it could lead to other things, perhaps. And it sounds like she's a hustler.
An extension of the publishing things that we've already been thinking of. So, you know, if you're publishing a book, you're going to need an artist. You're going to need editors. You're going to need, you know. So you need these roles. So in a way, we're offering an exchange service that is a bit larger and broader in focus, but embraces in a way the book publishing effort as well. So that's one thing. And the other thing I was thinking about is, I think there are coaching tasks that are not well served on the net that might be something that could be offered. If somebody wants to try something, they've never done it before. Now, obviously, most people dig around and do their own research, but if you actually had somebody who had expertise in that, who was able to give you pointers on where to go and where, you know, there might be an interest for that kind of help as well.
In addition, there could be a kind of public-private thing where a member could decide whether they want their profile only visible to other members, or whether they want a public profile that anybody could see. So if you are, say, a web designer, or a children's book illustrator, whatever skills you have, and you want a place to advertise what you offer, then the co-op could be a site through which you do that. And like one of the things that some other co-ops have done, and also not just co-ops, but other kind of mutual aid sort of groups, like there's a, in the US, I've just started a book by a lady who wrote, it's called Mutualism. And she started the Freelancers Union in the US, which offered, they started out offering health insurance to freelancers because, like, by policy, a lot of freelancers didn't have the protections like that or access to insurance that people with employees did working for companies. So it started offering that, and then they ended up offering a whole number of other services. In Belgium, there's another one, it's called the Smart Co-op, and they do like build payroll, bookkeeping, things like that. Like, so they basically take care of overhead for freelancers. And I'm not saying Cosmos is that, because I think our focus is more particularly around the creative work. Like, you know, it's not just those freelancers are doing work for other people. We're creating our own work. Nonetheless, there is a role, I think, in the ecosystem, like for if somebody is, they could do both. Like they could all do some work for clients, like in this case, the Bruce Lipton site is an example. But then when Jeffrey's webpage needs to be updated, then they already know the system. We already have a relationship. And so they could do that work as well. They could, we could offer them. And maybe that is paid in dollars, or maybe it's paid in Litecoin, or maybe it's paid in, you know, there's other ways that a value could be created. Like if there's a project where there's the potential for it to become successful, like through sales or a course, you can create like a smart contract where, you know, the people who work on that have a stake in the project, in the success of the project. And then Cosmos acts as a kind of mediator, as a kind of infrastructure for those relationships to form. And, you know, like you can just select the template you need, the contract you need, and implement it. And I think technologically, like that's becoming more and more available. Like I've seen a number of platforms that just let you build smart contracts and put them on blockchain of some kind. But we don't need the high tech even. Like we could, if it's small enough, which at this stage it is, then it's, you know, we could just keep track of things on a spreadsheet if we really needed to, as long as there's enough trust between everybody. And I think when you get bigger, then you have to have some more, you know, technological safeguards. How do we take this conversation we've had and bring it into like the stream of action?
Good question. I think, okay, let's break things down into manageable manageable steps. Uh, I really think like getting a kind of bulletin board space created, or a classifieds might even be like a better way to conceptualize it. We were doing one anyway for submissions, possibility, like places to submit to and publish with. And I think if we got, like I think that would be a section, like I think it could have sections to it. So we could get it started in a kind of basic form, but if it's modular, then we can add the fancier parts. I'm a big fan of things that are modular so that you can just implement part of them mm-hmm. and then do the rest when you've got time and when the time is right. About
priority modules, the one, you know, because obviously you could have a big list, but let's focus on the ones of immediate interest and mm-hmm. extend it as we go.
So what do you see as the what do you see as the first step?
To me, having even just a page mm-hmm. where the way to maybe just to get started, get the ball rolling would be to make a page where we list what we're looking for. Like we're looking for artists. We're looking maybe even for, what would be great to have? Like a video editor would be cool. Like somebody to, I think there's a lot of, we've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of conversations, like on a whole number of any number of topics, science and art and literature, poetry, philosophy, cosmology, spirituality, like religion. Like a lot of it is just on, like we do it and then we record it, we post it, and we move on. And there's some discussion. Often there's a discussion that goes with it, but nothing else is done with it. Like it's just there. One thing that people certainly like, would be great to have people do is go back and like pull out like what are the keywords or the concepts or some more like archival or like what's the word, but like accessible way of accessing like what did they talk about and
best.
Yeah, like that. There's indexing transcripts could be made. And that descriptions could be updated. And then things could also then that could be passed to marketing, who figures out maybe where to promote. And it could be something from years ago that still, most of what we talk about is pretty timeless. We don't tend to dwell on just, tabloid level stuff. So I feel like in a way, like we don't know the value of it. Right now it's just there, but I think that sometimes when people who have particular interests, like Peter Sloterdijk, for example, an author, there's very few people, relatively speaking, who want to read German philosophy. But when when somebody who is passionate about German philosophy like finds out that, oh, there's a group that spent months reading these books that I also am interested in, that creates, I think, a meaningful connection, but they may never find it unless we actually bridge the gap between the production and the intellectual work and then the discoverability of that work. So like there's, I think, a lot of work that could be done there that'd be pretty probably fun, actually.
Like is a great example, because of course that's the reason I'm here.
I know. You're not the only one. There's been a few, and it's surprising like how people find the project. Like it's always like in marketing they call it the long tail, that at the very at the kind of front of the tail you have, more intent, more interest over a short amount of time, but then you have these long tail of interest because the topic has like longevity. So I think there's a lot of stuff like that that we're just not. And then that becomes like a kind of the, in marketing terms, the wide end of the funnel. That becomes like a big funnel. And then things, people can trickle in and find the things that they're, find other things they're interested in, or become more participatory.
I liked Mary's idea of of a profile of offer versus desire as a way of interfacing with this space too.
We could have a pinned one at the top saying what the cooperative offers and desires, and then people could put their individual ones, could post their individual ones as well.
I would suggest we just start with a page then. I mean, we have the Cosmos co-op website that could, you know, it hasn't really been updated in years, actually. But that would be, in a way, because it's broader. It could be like the umbrella. And we can start listing things that we know that we, you know, are aware that we need. And also what we can offer, like you said. And then, you know, when one of the things with membership is you fill out a profile like about yourself, and it includes those things you mentioned and probably some other things as well. And like that profile is, it's maybe like one of the key things, you know, that you, one of the key things you have. And that's the case in any social network, actually. It's like always about your profile. And we have there's a forum profile, but that's, I think, a little different. Because that's the other thing. It's not everybody wants to be on a forum. They don't, you know, there's a long period of my life where the last thing I wanted to do was be on a forum. You know, I just wanted to do my work, whatever it was, and I didn't have the time as much. Even if it was interesting, I didn't have the time. And so I think maybe seeing that as like one space where there's a particular kind of conversations that can happen, but then having other ways that people can participate and kind of be like have a presence and be be made aware of to others. Did I say that right? Probably not.
One of the things that makes infinite conversation work, because I mean, internet forums are a dime a dozen, they're everywhere. And as you say, they take oodles of time to, you know, there are thousands of posts on many of those forums, and who has the time to read through all those posts? Infinite conversation works by the video, the Zoom link, where the exchange happened. And then the forum is there as support for the video. It's a very different way of doing things. And I think it's more effective as a way of, you know, pulling people in. I mean, obviously we're not wildly successful, but that's maybe a marketing problem still.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of just the raw material, like in just the fact that we will are willing to spend the time that we do on some of these topics and also that we give each other attention. That's the other thing that I don't like. There are certain things that I think hard to replicate, you know, because you have to have the will. You have to have people that want to do the thing, and you can't pay them to do it. If you're paying them to do it, they're probably not going to do it well. I mean, that's the only reason they're doing it, is what I mean. But I think the
also
video
constraints in terms of they're kind of communication and community constraints. You need a certain kind of person. It doesn't always work with all kinds of people, even though they maybe have the best intentions in the world. Sometimes the mix doesn't work. You know, we've had people come to the site and leave because of the way the dynamics worked out on the site, right? So,
yeah. That's true. And that's also, I think, part of our growing pains is, you know, a small group of very intensely passionate and weird people they're not going to be like universally compatible with others. No. You know, so.
Well said.
but I think the more like the larger community grows, then the more niches, I think, like the more kind of social like and interpersonal niches develop, where you can find one or two or three other people who you particularly resonate with, and then if somebody else ticks you off, you can just ignore them. That I think is probably important. But that's a function of scale to some extent. And scale and culture, like the there's the tolerance aspect. And how what do you think about just the idea of beginning like a page that is kind of a the beginning of a bulletin board? Like, it wouldn't be totally like, if I were designing it from a technical perspective, it wouldn't be just a page. There would be kind of a way to make an entry, a way to manage your profile, etc.
If you could, maybe I can help set it up if that's within my skill set, but I also wouldn't mind being the point person. Like, you could just put, you could just write, would you like to advertise something on this page? Send an email to. I don't mind being the point person who gets the emails and then goes and puts them on the bulletin board. Like, that seems, you could automate it too. Like, you could have a fill out, a form that could just be filled out. But maybe the easiest way to do it at the beginning is just have an email address and just say, send what you'd like to advertise to this
person. I thought I would just think through a little bit offers and wants, what they might be, just to get a rough idea of something. And modular areas of interest, and then we could talk about it again. Just as a way of structuring what gets done on the site.
You want to get a feeling from other people? Like, you want to hear from other people, do you mean? Or what?
I just want to think about it first, but Eventually it would be good then to sound other people on the suggestions that we come up with.
So you're saying don't do it right away.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud is what I'm doing.
Well, let me tie this around to another topic then. One of the things I've been thinking that in the kind of package of metapsychosis, like, what are the things we need to develop to get to go to the next stage, is that, and I also was in a conversation with Marco Masi about this, just and through a suggestion he made, which is that what we could do is create an actual subscription option, in other words, a page that's subscribed to Metapsychosis, and that under that page there would be some options. So there would be a free subscription where essentially you're subscribing to get the newsletter when it comes out. And also just to be in the system to participate in, say, a reading group or something else that is a free offering. Like, you're a subscriber just in the free sense that I've given your email address. That's all you've given. But then we could then have the next level two, let's say, which is which is transactional, where you're paying some amount and you're going to get something. Like, you're going to get a print edition, or you're going to get, some other Metapsychosis hat or whatever, there's some like a crowdfunding where you would get perks based on how much you put in. Like, so we can come up with ideas around that. But then the next, and like the highest, would be like a participatory thing where you're more like saying, I want to do something, like, I want to offer something. I want to, be a reader. I want to be, I want to lead discussion. I want to lead a group, but you're more in the cooperative end of things. And then, like, one of the things we could offer there, or it could be at the prior level as well, or any of the levels, but is you can also have a listing. And if you have something you want to promote, or if you have a skill you want to barter, if there's something you need, then you're able to add that. Like, and then after you sign up, there's some sort of like process, right? And you fill out a form and you fill out your profile. It could start, like you say, Mary, as you contact Mary and she'll help get you set up. But then, we can automate that more. So, as things develop. But the reason it would be kind of tied together is that I guess it would just show like what the sort of levels are, like that you can just have a very basic relationship and get an email and that's it. But there is a possibility to grow into something more if you just, so you don't have to jump into the deep end in a way. Like you can wade in and try it. And then the, some of those issues around like chemistry and stuff would be sorted out a little bit more gradually than somebody just jumping in and becoming an editor, for example. It could be good just for somebody to be a reader first to see what quality feedback they give on something before they really start making decisions about what gets published and not. Or, you know, there could be other kinds of on-ramps like around like the cafes or other groups. Like if, before being in a writing group, for example, you're in a reading group. Maybe before being in a reading group, you responded to some questions on the forum or something, like creating more of a sense of how, you know, how to make it friendlier for people in that sense. And easier too for the co-op as a whole, like to kind of work with the diverse people that would be involved. So
that
anyway,
sounds like we're not ready to start. Like that sounds like you want to do a bit more. You need want to draw up that scheme before you.
Yeah, I think so. But here's the other thing is that we just got a package of files from the lawyers.
Okay.
That look at specific things that they would need. And like kind of, I think, I haven't even looked at it all, but there's about 10 different files, like slide deck and PDFs. And I think they did a video and some audio. Like maybe what we could do is look at that. And instead of making it up, like try to work with what their framework that they're giving us, and then take the ideas that we've had and see how could they, like how could that scaffolding help us concretize them a bit more, like so that we really have an economic model, we really have a membership model, we really have, you know, like our sort of processes around the membership.
Okay.
Membership issue sounds to me separate from the bulletin board exchange model. I mean, they're not completely separate, but they are kind of overlapping areas, if you like. There's a bit of overlap, but they.
Yeah, but like the way I articulate it is that it sounds like you're talking about making the marketplace a perk of membership, which means that we have to create the infrastructure for membership, or else we'll have a market that like nobody has the right membership level to access because we haven't actually created membership levels. You see what I mean?
Yeah, that would be a design flaw, I'd say.
Yeah. So.
But we could just do the bulletin board. Like we can start that without the whole infrastructure. I'd say. I mean, particularly if we just know that we want to get some people involved, like some artists involved, some proofreaders. Like there's definitely things like that that we could list on a page and say, we're working on the cooperative infrastructure, but for now it's sort of, I don't know, it's not it's volunteer plus, it's more than volunteer. Like we're trying to create opportunities.
Focused around the book publishing. I mean, not to say you couldn't develop it further into other areas eventually, but I think that is its own niche for which there is a need. Because when I talk about even the fact that my book is being published by a co-op publisher, I get lots of feedback. But I didn't even know there was co-op publishers. Even I didn't know if it was a thing. And people are interested in the whole process. So I think, you know, and obviously because, you know, anybody who's doing independent publishing is in the need of copy editors, development editors, you know, all of these different needs are there. So if they, you know, I think there would be an interest in that kind of a marketplace.
I know there would be, and there's also like there's an international movement of people that are trying to promote and create a cooperative economy, and they're interested in supporting and like fomenting the kind of businesses that we're creating. And I have been reluctant to interact with those lists. I'm on a couple of those lists, and I know some of the people that, you know, are like going to conferences and writing books and stuff. But I don't feel, I haven't felt like we're ready quite. At least personally, I haven't felt ready yet, because I think we need to have like just some basic structures first, so that when there is interest, like there's a way to engage it. Like, I don't want to be like the sole person doing everything, and then everybody's emailing me and I have to reply to everybody. And like, there is, you know what I mean? That's what I'm afraid of, because I've been in that situation before where like I'm the point person and there just isn't the, you know, there isn't enough support for me in that role. So I'd rather have a kind of group of people that want to do it together and realize, okay, once we, and you know, announce this and put together some marketing materials and stuff, like people will be interested in it. Like I know that. And they'll be interested apart from even the quality of the literature. Like it wouldn't even matter. Like just the business model is interesting to people, especially now that so much of the old systems are being exposed to, you know, for their obsolescence. So I just wanted to, you know, move mindfully forward. And I think probably like the answer as far as like coming out of this meeting is like, we do need that page, right? Like we do need to indicate like some of the other needs that we have and tell the story of like what, where we're going, the direction we're going. Like, we're not just asking you to volunteer for free. Like we want people who are interested in the kind of model that we're also attempting to create.
Can I make a suggestion for like something concrete that could come out of a way we could do something concrete out of this meeting? Why not, let's make the page and let's just put at the top, we're providing this for now as a free service to figure out what people want. It may become a member locked, I'll work on that phrasing later on when it's actually good. But you are welcome. You are participating in the beta version. So thank you for helping to make it better. And I know how to make pages on Metapsychosis, but I don't think I can make pages on Cosmos Co-op. But I wouldn't mind if you wanted me to. And with the understanding that with my skills, it would still be pretty basic. I wouldn't mind taking charge of that. And I could show you like some text that I'll just write up, and it will be just as simple as it'll be a little spiel with a way to contact me. And I'll say something like, if anyone wants to advertise, looking for collaborators, looking for certain skills, calls for submissions, etc. Send them to me by this way, and then like once a week I'll go back to the page and update it all, get rid of the ones that are the deadline that have been up for too long, put up new ones, make sure that people are sending their like the right contact information and so on, and giving enough information, like I'll be a moderator, make sure no one's sending us inappropriate stuff, that kind of stuff. And so it's just like we start with something just like incredibly low tech, but we'll get a feel for what kind of things people want, you know, like what kind of things do people want to advertise? Are people looking for collaborators, or are people looking for editors? Are people looking for to sell their skills? And just like, just take the temperature of the room. Does that sound?
That sounds good to me. I think it's always worked for me, like to start small.
Mm-hmm. We can always
large complex ideas tend to get stalled. But I think that so it works the same as Metapsychosis. I'll just make sure you're able to log into the Cosmos Co-op site, and I after the cafe tomorrow, I'm going to turn some attention to those sites. So I got some work to do with Bridget, I'll make sure you have access to that so you can just create the page.
It'll take me a few days to get up because I want to write something short but nice that goes at the top that explains what it's for and how to use it.
Yeah.
And maybe maybe find a little bit of a nice image or something so it looks pretty. But that's it. I wouldn't do anything fancy.
Okay, that sounds good. Should we also cover maybe just some publishing like related pieces like today as far as the meeting?
Well, how's the UFO piece coming along?
Okay, the author kind of balked about like at the number and kind of how much work it would take to go through all the comments, and so we'll see. It's kind of like a,
because most of the work was done for him.
I know, that's why I'm disappointed.
It's not actually. Like we asked him to go and rethink the whole thing. We actually told him what to do.
I know. I'm a little bit. I think it may just be a timing thing. Like it may have caught him at the wrong moment. I know that he's a good-hearted person. I don't think he mean like. And it was a lot of work. That's the thing. I spent time on that. You spent time on that. So I hope he'll come around. Maybe it's just like he got the impression. You know, sometimes like you can get the sense like it's just too much. But then if you actually do it, it goes really quickly and easily. Because as you said, like that, I was a little afraid of that. And that's why I spent time like actually rewriting stuff, kind of doing his work, doing the work for him so that he wouldn't have to do it. We'll see. It's somebody I've known for a long time. And I think that they just may have been in a bad mood.
Well, I think the result is quite good, but I certainly wouldn't have accepted it in the first place. So
I understand. And also like they're used to not being edited. Like they just post their stuff and that's fine, but that's what a blog does. Like,
yeah, it's so, this isn't a blog, right?
So. Exactly. There's, I don't know, maybe they just didn't, they knew what they were getting into just knowing me, but yeah, that's, I'm sorry about that. That's, to me, was like a downer. It was a real downer. But I hold hope. I hold a flame of hope in my heart that that piece is going to come through. I haven't given up on it or them yet.
I'm working on the revisions about halfway through the revisions. So, Lennon.
Cool.
And
it would take about 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, and then 2 weeks have gone, and I'm halfway through. So I think that's about right. So
you hold it pretty much.
I've been talking with Maya about some of her gathering some of her poems. It's been a 2-year process already that she's shared some things on the forum. She's shared some things with me.
Oh, cool.
And
I've been reading her novel. I can't make it on the 20th. I'm actually going to be in an airport all that day. But I started in on her novel and I've been enjoying it.
Oh, good.
Good.
There's an interview with Marjorie Kay.
In the reading group, Mary?
The reading group?
For Maya's book.
Is that going on right now?
No, it's not started yet, but we talked about midsummer sometime to do it.
Oh, she got in touch with me actually to ask if I asked her when the discussion was going to be, and she mentioned the date of the 20th of June. I don't.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. Okay.
I think that's.
I've got to get that into the calendar. We really should get a newsletter out. We really should. I think that, Kayla and I actually have been working on that in the last couple of days. Like that's been our focus. So that I think will come together sooner rather than later. And then we could include all this stuff. But I was going to mention that there's the star gardening piece, and then there's also the interview with Marjorie Kay that are, I believe, done on the site. They just haven't been published. So
can I hit publish? I've been sort of wondering about that.
Did you or should you?
Should I?
I haven't seen it. Let me look. I actually haven't looked at the piece.
Okay.
But why don't I look at it now? I think you should. Okay. Actually. I mean, I assume it looks okay.
Gardening would be nice to find an image to go with it, but.
Star gardening? Oh, you should. surely NASA has like a whole, does NASA copyright its images?
They're public domain.
Yeah. I may have some NAS images I could use because I tend to look through them looking for images for
myself. Subscribe to their Instagram if you want inspiration. That's a good place to start.
I actually use one of their images on my Twitter banner because it's this extraordinary image that corresponds almost exactly to one of my books, to what I've done in one of my books. So.
Cool.
Maybe we could do like one next week and then one the following week, and probably by then we'll have a newsletter ready to go, and the newsletter will advertise those pieces.
Right.
But they could be published. Yeah.
Now, in the other pieces that we've got going on, what else? Consciously evolving language, where's that?
So I created a post on the E-Zone for that and had three readers sign up for it, Doug, John Davis, and Heather.
Okay.
So Doug has read it, John has, Heather has indicated that she would be a reader, but hasn't further replied. But she did reply to something else yesterday, so I think she's probably just, as usual, like, and at the end of the semester too, probably busy, and in she'll have time in the summer. But we've been in touch. She has a partner now here in Longmont, and which is where I live. So we went on a walk a few weeks ago, and I think maybe probably in the summertime there'll be some more movement on that.
Yeah,
Marco, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble finding the interview. I thought I put it up, but it was months ago. So maybe I dreamed that I did. Why don't I put it up? Why don't I make that? I mean, we've got the edited.
No, I see the draft.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
No, I can't. Okay. Well, as long as you see it, that's what matters.
Well, you're going to have to find it eventually. But if you go to posts.
Oh, it's under posts.
It's underneath. Oh, yeah. Cool. Oh, I like the image that you chose.
I think she sent me an
image. Oh, she sent that.
She sent me a new one.
Oh, well, yeah, it looks, I mean, I haven't proofread it, but just on quick overview.
Yeah, I think you might have already proofread it, but it would definitely do it no harm for you to do it again.
I proofread the Word doc, but not the website page.
It's true, the website needs an extra V3.
Oh yeah, you ask her about the cooperative art gallery, Galatea.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And I put in links. I don't remember doing this. Every time she mentioned an artist, I went and found it online and I put a link to it. Yeah, this was fun.
She mentions art form Haeckel's, Ernst Haeckel's work.
Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible book. I have the art forms of nature. Anyway, yeah, this is wonderful. This would be a great follow-up to the interview last week with Andrew Antoniou that JF Martel did.
Okay. Do you want me to wait? Do you want me to do it next week? Like, shall we pick a day? I guess is what I'm saying.
I suppose so. Yeah. Any day next week, I figure, would be fine.
I'll do it Monday.
Okay.
And then I'll aim to do Star Gardening the Monday following.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that looks really good. I really like the art. I like the having artists on the site, and it's a really great balance to me with the text and the video and everything.
Yeah, I think we could do more to enhance the presence of artists. So I was saying at the beginning that I think it'd be full practice.
Okay, so looking at the board, Brian George, he's still revising Masks of Origin. He's on his last piece, and then I've been a reader. I'm going to see if there's other people that want to be readers just on this final version as well. That could be added too. But he's a particular, you know, he's a very unique writer, I'd say. I can imagine many people not getting what he's doing. I hardly do often, but there's something thrilling about his work when it lands, and so that's also there on the board. Same with Heather's notes on space. That's something that I've mentioned to her, and so I think the next time we talk, we'll kind of move forward, take the next step with that. There's a piece I need to still revise, which I'll come around to, The Perfect Piece of an Inanimate Subject.
And then there's Venezuelan Expat.
Right. And I've get offered comments on that, so has Gurmeet. And so it's just now it's back in Eduardo's court. So I think I'll circle back around. I hope soon. Diana Thorson had a manuscript that's been sort of in limbo, but that I don't know if we're ready.
I think we need to work on the other stuff first before we open that one up. So
yeah, I would agree. And then I have my own project, things that I want to work on that I don't have time for yet, like I want to do this podcast edit of Hildur, and there's another piece I'm writing that...
Is there anything I can do to help out with that, Marco? I feel like given that I was the cause of some of that work landing on you, I have basic video editing skills and sound editing. So if you'd like help doing a rough cut, or if you want to do a rough cut and then you want me to... do the last bit or like whatever piece of the chain I could,
whatever you would want to do. Honestly, like I don't have a particular, like I enjoyed the whole conversation. I wouldn't want to cut much of it, but I gushed, I think, a little bit. And so I
feel a little bit less embarrassed about my own gushing.
Yeah. And when Jocelyn is like the queen of gushing, like she's a gush, she's a pure gush, and kind of opens up the floodgates too, I think,
That's such interesting things. She's very, very observant about things, I find. Yeah.
Very interesting to hear about her, like the discussion about silence and the little like ways that she kind of draws on musical motifs and like styles of music. I thought that was fascinating. And then every time I've listened to the poem again, I hear different, like I hear things that I didn't hear the first time around. So I would say, Mary, that like, what do you feel like if you wanted to go through it and pick out like a chunk of it that you think would work well, or even like kind of like you've done with writing Off the Deep End, chunk it into a few pieces.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. Like I have no desire to contain it in any way. Like I think chunking it down is helpful for listeners for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll make a start on it. I will say I don't have permissions on it. I wasn't able to actually download the video file from Vimeo. It doesn't let me do it. I could also just be working on the audio. I mean, we could make up our mind that it's an audio.
Whatever you like, actually. It could be both, really. I mean, because we could put it out as a audio podcast, but then have the video somewhere or put out, do both. Mm-hmm. Really, like, yeah, and, I have no particular preference in that regard. Like, to me, the more the better, in a way, like that.
Well, if you want to keep your options open, the best way is for me to work on the video, because you can always extract audio from video,
mm-hmm.
but you can't go the other way.
True. True.
So,
I'll get you access to the video file then.
Cool.
Because it's just a matter, I think, of enabling the, like, the toggling the switch. I'll do that right now.
Perfect. Thanks. There's something. Right. Yeah. Okay. I'll think it over. There's something nice about making it audio only, because then it's a little easier to weave in. I could weave in Jocelyn's sound effects into it.
That's what I was thinking. Is that it would we'd get samples from the audio.
She even gave me audio that was the sound without the words, in case it was ever useful to me. If that's useful to you, I can pass it on.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, I think blending it in.
She probably has the separate tracks, too, that went into it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I'm not going to go.
I think Elfhilder has a lot of potential, honestly. Like, you may not even want to do this. Like, it just may be an old project for you, but like, I could.
It reminds me another talent that would be nice to attract to Metapsychosis or screenwriters, because Elfhilder seems to me an ideal thing to do. A film from.
I used to want to be a filmmaker.
The right talent in terms of screenwriting.
Yeah.
Or a cartoon. I could see a cartoon. Could see just sort of like spin-off tales. More poetry for sure. I feel like there's a, it's kind of a rich, you've hit a vein or something that, I don't know if you feel it, but I feel like there's probably more there.
I love transformative works as a whole thing. So anything that inspires people to transform.
And there is some artwork too, that is with the SoundCloud. Like where did that come from?
I made it. I had to teach myself how to use my drawing tablet. I learned a lot doing it. I couldn't find anybody. I tried to hire several people on Tumblr, but all these artists told me they were too busy to take commissions. And then I got impatient and did it myself.
Well, and maybe the other thing too is like working with students. You know, Jeffrey, Jen, you've mentioned this a few times, is that there could be like internships, or there could be, you know, students that want to take on projects that they get credit for, even, you know, like it could be something that, because like you don't necessarily, like, I mean, I think, yeah, I my daughters are not old enough yet, but I could totally see it as a kind of thing that they would like love to do, you know, like they'd probably have a lot of fun doing that kind of work. And and then that's also part more of the community building thing is
I have worked with students, but I paid them. I didn't pay them hugely, but I did pay them. You know.
That's good. That's ethical, I'd say.
What we need is high school students. You can pay them even less.
I can't believe you just said that.
I think the wolf queen is coming out.
For the record, since this is being recorded, I am in favor of paying everyone fairly, no matter their age.
Right. Well, maybe Litcoin. If we just have the medical, you know, I think there is a value kind of mechanism that could be there. Like if it is pegged in a way to the value of the co-op, then that creates that's another incentive. The wealthier the co-op is, and the more your Litcoin is worth, I don't imagine it'd be like a Bitcoin kind of exponential thing, but it gives you a kind of stake in the community, because then if you have Bitcoin, you could use that to hire people, right? If you have a project, there might be a kind of special rate within the co-op and that you charge less, or you make a special deal, or it's just part of, you know, part of like the capital pool in a way. Is if you have 100 people and everybody's committed 2 hours of work to the co-op a month, let's say it's 200 hours, and that's worth, say, $20 an hour, that's $4,000 worth of value there every month, right? That's just one way of quantifying it. But if we think about, like, even if we don't have our bank account, there's no money in our bank account, that doesn't mean that we don't have resources. It doesn't mean that we don't have something to offer. And I think it's just a way of like framing it and making the connections for people, so they could say, oh yeah, even though I'm not being paid necessarily, I'm getting something out of it that makes it worth it for me. And for high schoolers and college students, sometimes it is just the experience and the exposure. But if there were, like, I don't know, we have to be careful with the legal. At a certain point, we'll have to be careful legally. The company, the nonprofit I worked for when I first moved to Boulder, they actually got in trouble. They got sued for having this sort of semi-volunteer jobs where people were getting paid literally like half of minimum wage, and just doing things out of passion and commitment. But then things kind of went sour, and there were some disgruntled employees who realized that they actually had rights that they could act on, and got lawyers involved and stuff. And anyway, I was in sort of a, on my way out of a leadership position at that, when that was going on. So I had to like answer questions around to legal counsel around all the working conditions and stuff. And but for me, it was like, I was one of those people who was basically just working from the minimum, because I wanted to be there. And it was, I saw it as this kind of spiritual path. So I didn't really care, but when you're in that position, when you're in that mind state, you assume that other people feel like you do, and they don't necessarily do. Like they actually may have a different sense of what's just. So, qualifying that whole discussion for any future legal review. We're doing our due diligence, and but there does have to be ways to open up things like beyond just the monetary framework. I think that that's one of the key things, that like if we can really kind of make it tangible, like that offers a stepping stone beyond just the reductive, capitalist kind of mode. I think that's going to be also something that people are interested in. But I think we're past time, and I got to go. My mom got dental surgery today. She got all of her bottom teeth extracted and implants put in. So we've got to get her some pain meds for the next, for this, because of the anesthesia wearing off. Good to see you. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad we got to talk about some of that other stuff. It's often on my mind, and I try to talk with Kayla as much as I can. She has bandwidth for it, but we haven't gotten so much to discuss more of the structural and business aspects, and I think they're important. Like this one.
Mary has said this before, that the publishing process takes a long time. So I sat in on this meeting about the launch for Chronicling the Days, Mary. I don't know if you were on the meeting, but they mentioned that normally a book takes 2 years from the time it's submitted to the time it's published. And this one they did it in 1 year, but I was thinking about Plenum is, it's within the 2 years, but it's not. It's still got a ways to go for for the 2 years. So
I think 2 years makes a nice goal. Nice outer bound.
That's reasonable too, I think. And you're talking about the first draft that went through that review, the book group, and
yeah,
and the next draft the
group. It was very quick because it was almost almost off the cuff text. There wasn't a lot of editing that went into it. Obviously, copy editing, but not re-editing a lot. So it was fairly quickly that process. But as they say, you know, cover design and layout and all the rest of it, and all the steps of doing it still took, you know, a year to get it all done. So yeah.
And that's, I think that's good. I mean, that's, I mean, I think it's part of just the, what makes it, the time that goes into something is part of what makes it.
Yeah.
Gives it its depth. So it's more like wine than like soda.
Yeah.
Sugar water. Just... Okay, I better go. Thank you.
Yeah, go get those drugs.
All right. See ya. I gotta go see my dealer.
Bye. Bye-bye.